So, Andy, what do you guys have going on right now? What is Brainstorm up to? And talk a little bit about what the band is currently doing right now.
All right, now we're just promoting the new album. We're very proud of it. We think that this is by far one of the best albums we've recorded since years. And so far, we are just pretty close for releasing the tour dates for the upcoming tour. It's going to be the kickoff will be in the spring, I think, in about February, March, something like that, of 2012. And I hope it brings us all over the planet, also to Cleveland, of course.
Now, you came over here to Cleveland for the first time back when you played the Braveboards Bloody Knuckles six-pack. And what was it like for you to come over here to play in Cleveland?
That was for me like a dream come true. You know, I always do remember the first time when I've seen the Fall Guy on TV. You know, it's just a movie series from the 80s. And I've always seen those traffic signs over there, you know. And then a good friend of mine picked me up in Cleveland, and you know, and then I've seen them for real. And I was really like, woo! So playing in the U.S. is always something very, very special, you know. It's just, hey, come on, it's like, this is the country, you know, where many of my favorite bands are coming from, you know. So, and it's, we know that we have a lot of fans and friends over there, and I love it. I love it just playing there. I love it just being there. I like the food. I'm totally into buffalo chicken wings, you know. And, of course, you know, we do not have to talk about your girls over there, so, okay. So you know all of my favorite stuff.
Well, what are some of the bands that you're interested in? I mean, you talked about how you like some bands from here in the States, and what bands are you really into coming out of the U.S. these days?
Of course, you know, in the early 80s, you know, I just grew up with bands like Metal Church, like Vicious Rumors, and so on. Then I grew up, of course, when I've been a young kid, you know, I just grew up with Kiss, for example, you know. But later, for the new bands, I'm really into bands like Killswitch Engage or SLA Dying and so on, like Lamb of God. I'm really into them. A lot of people might be surprised about that because it's not the kind of music I play, but making music and listening to music is always something different. And I like listening to bands like, as I said, SLA Dying and Lamb of God and so on. But my heart belongs to the power metal scene, you know, the bands I grew up with, like Metal Church, Vicious Rumors and so on, and Sabotage and so on. So, yeah, a lot of bands are coming from there.
Andy, you touched earlier about the new album, On the Spur of the Moment, and that it's one of your favorite Brainstorm albums. In fact, it's one of your favorite Brainstorm albums in recent memory. And talk about that. Why is this album, what is it about this record that makes it one of your favorite albums that you've ever done since joining Brainstorm? And talk about the reasons why that is.
I think, you know, after the Liquid Monster album, we tried to change a lot of things, you know. So we went over to Wolfsburg to record the next album, to reach something like the next level, you know. So we went over to Wolfsburg, and we recorded Downburst and Memorial Roots together with Sasha Pate and Miro. They're always doing a great job on bands like Avantasia or Ad Guy and so on. But we tried to reach a new level, to find out something new, what's good for Brainstorm, what can bring us a bit more, what can make us stronger, what can make us better, you know, and so on. And I think we've learned a lot over there, of course, you know, and we had a great time, definitely. But in my ears and in my eyes, I now think, looking backwards, I think that Downburst is some kind of overproduced, and Memorial Roots is kind of underproduced, so I call it. And at the end, these are still, they're good albums, definitely, you know. I'm really into the music of Downburst and Memorial Roots as well. But personally, I think that On the Spur of the Moment just sounds more like Brainstorm, some of the people know us from the early days, like from Soul Temptation or Liquid Monster, you know. And this is what people can expect from Brainstorm, and this is what they get on the Spur of the Moment again. And so, to me, On the Spur of the Moment sounds like an album recorded with a lot of heart blood, you know. So, and this is what I really like on that album, you know. We did not take too much time on songwriting and so on. So we just wrote the songs, we just recorded the songs, and we never made up our mind, you know, about how will the media just like it, you know, the press guys, how will they like it, and so on. We just took care just about ourselves. So we're into the music and what we like, you know. This is the most important thing, and we're totally into the album, so we love it.
You touched on a little bit, we were talking a little bit about the title of the album before the interview, and, you know, Andy, let's talk about the theme behind this record. You know, every album, there's something behind the title, and I guess for my next question for you, is the title, On the Spur of the Moment, does that symbolize what the making of this record was like?
Exactly, that's it, you know, it also got something to do with the lyrics, you know, because on Memorial Roots, I wrote a lot of lyrics about more historical and religious things, you know. But now I went back writing lyrics about actual political things and so on, you know, things that happen in real life, they happen now, and so on, which for our fans, they just only, they think that Brainstorm is a band, you should read lyrics not too religious and not too historical about, you know. So, but at the end, I think that On the Spur of the Moment reflects exactly the way we started to produce, to record, to write the album, you know. So, and this title just says it all, you know. It reflects the whole process.
I've been a follower of Brainstorm for quite some time, Andy. In fact, ever since the first Brainstorm album, before you were even in the band, I remember getting their debut album. And I have to ask you, you fronted Symforce, you sang at Symforce, they formed Symforce, sang there, and you also fronted Brainstorm as a singer as well. And what was it like to front two bands? What was it like to be a singer in two different metal bands that were pretty big at the time?
It was just quite easy. It was just twice earning millions of dollars. Not only once. No, it's just, you know, when I just left Ivanhoe, just about 12 years ago, and I just formed Symforce, and then we recorded the first album, and when I met Tade, you know, he just asked me if I think it's possible to sing in another band as well, and I knew the guys at Brainstorm, and I knew it's my kind of music as well. And so it went on, you know. So we had a great time. With both bands, we traveled around the planet and so on. It was great, but after so many years, I decided to stop Symforce here. We recorded 7 great albums, so I think. And but we've said everything we always wanted to say, you know, with the band. And so right now, I'm concentrated on 100% only on Brainstorm. But I do not know what the future will bring. Probably I will start another project with other musicians as well. I have no idea. I have no clue so far. But right now, I'm totally concentrated on Brainstorm, of course, to promote this album. But it was cool, you know, because I had no time to rest. You know, just singing in two bands was amazing. You know, just coming down from a stage, jumping into the bus, traveling to the next stage, and jumping on the stage there with different musicians, you know. And during that time, in between two stages, I always had, I needed the time to learn the lyrics again, you know. It was always funny. Of course, it was cool.
Andy, was it easy or hard for you to disband Symforce?
Yeah, no, it was hard. It was hard, you know. We all... We just played our last show in Holland, you know, because in Holland, Holland is a place where we have a huge fan base over there. So we decided to end our career over there, and because a lot of the success of Symforce came from Holland, you know. So I have no idea why. I have no clue, but this is how it was, you know. So we decided to stop it in Holland. And we all stood there and had tears in our eyes, you know, just when we just played the last songs. And then, because we knew this is the lineup that will never, ever be on the stage, you know, because it's, of course, a hard decision. It is, definitely. But, okay, it was time, you know, because I'm, as I said, 100% in Brainstorm. Marcus has got so much to do with Mystic Prophecy and Cedric and the rest of the guys. They're in their own band, Down Spirit, so... You know, we all have our bands right now, so, and I have no clue what will come out, what will happen after the promotion or after the tour with Brainstorm. But I'm open-minded, definitely. I'm open-minded.
You talked about possibly doing some other type of project down the road. And what musicians out there, would you really like to work with that are out there in the metal world?
Jeff Loomis. Jeff Loomis, a former guitarist of Nevermore. He's one of the guys I would love to work with, you know, definitely. That would be awesome. That would be really awesome, you know, to work with him, you know, because in my eyes, he's one of the most important guitarists we have in the world right now. And probably, we'll see what will happen, you know. But it would be amazing to share the studio and to share the stage with him, you know. But we will see. The blunt dude.
That's funny.
You talked a little bit about the different bands that you liked from the U.S., since obviously some of those bands aren't around anymore. And if you could pick a one band that's not around anymore, if you could pick them to reform, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's difficult to say. That's a really good question. You know, that's a really good question. But the funny thing is that a lot of bands, you know, they broke up. You know, they're together again right now because they had nothing else to do, so they started recording a new album. So, like bands like Journey, for example, and so on. You know, like, whoa, I thought they're gone, but they're not. But it's not easy to say. But I have no idea. To be very honest, right now, I have not really. Yeah, Atrophy would be cool. Atrophy. Do you remember those guys? Socialized Hate, Involved by Nature.
Yep, I remember them.
Yeah, of course. That was a really cool thrash metal band. That was really cool. They were really cool in the '80s. Yes, or nineties. Was it nineties? I don't remember. But both of the albums were amazing. Just listened to them a few days ago, and had a great time with that again. Just awesome, yeah. Yeah, just call them. They should record another album as well. The third part of Socialized Hate, that would be cool.
Over here in the States, when it comes to different genres of metal, people usually group themselves and only really listen to one or two types. For example, your power metal listeners kind of are in one group. You have your people that listen to death metal in another group. And, you know, it's kind of segregated when it comes to genres, but over in Germany and over in Europe, it's not like that. People listen to everything from, like, glam rock to Slayer. And I have to ask you, why is that? What is it about the culture in Germany and in Europe that people are so diverse when it comes to this type of music? And also, over the years, it's still remained pretty popular over in Europe, and concert attendances are great. And why is that? Why is it like that?
I think, you know, the Germans, we're really into our tradition, you know. So as you can see, bands like Gravedigger, Halloween, and whatever, whomever, you know, that they're still around, you know. And whatever comes, the other bands, they do sound like them as well. So I think the Germans have their own very special kind of style and their own special sound. I have no idea why, to be very honest, you know. If you listen to a band like Lamb of God or Asledine, you will find out easily, you know, that they're not from Germany and they're not from Scandinavia. They are from the U.S., you know. But the same way around, you know, if you do listen to a band like In Flames or whatever, you know, it's not so difficult to find out that they're not from the U.S., you know. They have their own special kind of thing, you know. It's their own, their personal thing. But it's from country to country. It's totally different. If you take a look back, you know, into the 80s, and when you listen to all those bands from Great Britain, you know, like Raven, like War Dog, and whatever, you know, early Judas Priest and early Iron Maiden and whatever, and Saxon and so on, they sound very special, and you were able to find out after a second, you know, that they are from the island, you know, they are from Great Britain, you know. So it's I have no idea what it is. It's kind of a mystical thing, you know. But German metal is, of course, always something you can count on, you know. So if you do if you know a good German metal band, of course, like Halloween, like whatever, Brainstormer as well, of course, you can count on us, you know, and you can always be sure that the next album is going to be the best album.
Well,
It's always the same.
I do like all
the same with us.
I do like all those bands, and I actually used to work with Helloween at one point in their career. So, like years ago,
okay.
Like about 4 years ago now. But you know, I grew up on German metal, like Running Wild and Gravedigger and all those bands.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, just
have you heard that Running Wild, they're recording a new album as well for 2012?
Yeah, hey, man, as I always said, the pirate ship's always docked on my show, so. when they broke up, it was funny because when they broke up, I went on the air, and I'm like, guys, because the name of my show is The Metal Command, I go, guys, I'm like, they broke up, I go, but the pirate ship will always be docked here, and I still play them on a regular basis, as crazy as that is.
Okay.
I figured you might find that humorous, but I mean, that's just, I've liked a lot of German metal bands for quite a long time, so.
Okay.
So, you know, my next question for you, so, you know, you talk about obviously coming out with some tour dates, and have you guys thought about coming over here to play any shows?
We've been asked to do many more shows now in 2012 to, over the U.S., you know, so far we've always played single shows in the U.S., but our new booking agency, they're really into booking us for a real whole tour, you know. It's going to be, as far as I've been told, they will split it into two legs. Like, the first leg is going to be going down from north, it is northeast, the east coast, down to the south, you know, and then west coast, up to the north, you know, down to the south as well. And it's going to be spread into two legs, so I've been told. But I have no idea. I have no clue when it will happen. You know, so we have to, we have to wait and see. So far, but they told us, you know, just 2 days ago, I just received an email, and they just they wrote that we're two steps away from releasing the tour dates, which is a good sign. So I think
you talked a little bit about the last couple Brainstorm albums, really not being as big of a fan of them as, I guess, this new album. And I really have to tell you that I was really a big fan of both of them. I really like Liquid Monster. I think Liquid Monster, to me, was the album by Brainstorm that was, I mean, had great production. The songs were great. It was just all around a great record. And then he had Memorial Roots, which the production wasn't as great, but there were some outstanding tracks on there. And one song in particular, Andy, that I really liked quite a bit was a song called Cross the Line. In fact, I used to listen to that quite often on repeat. And I have to ask you, what did you write that song about? And give us a little insight into writing that track.
Oh, that's years ago. That's a good question. we tried to play that song many times live, but always when we stood on stage, you know, we had to decide will we play the song now or not. We just always said no. We'll go on with another very familiar track, so the people can be happy about that. I knew that, and I think that the lyrics went over the situation when you have to when you're in your relationship, you know, when there's something not going right, you know, and then you sometimes have to cross the line to say I'm sorry, you know, and not just always say no, I'm right and you're wrong, you know. So sometimes you can also say, of course, you know, when I say you're right, I'm a liar, you know. So, but anyway, no, just I think it was about that. But I should read the lyrics again. To be very honest, you know, sometimes you do write that. That was the biggest problem, you know, with having two bands, you know, just always writing the lyrics here, writing the lyrics there, and then sometimes I had to do interviews and some people asked me, okay, let's go step by step through the album, tell me everything about the lyrics, and I was really like, now, so I have no clue anymore what band are we talking about. Okay.
When it comes to Symforce, out of all the records you recorded with them, which album was your favorite? And why?
I think Twice Second was one of the most important I've ever recorded, and was one of the album which was the most important album we've ever recorded with Symforce. I'm really into Godspeed and Become Death as well, but Twice Second was kind of a big step for us, you know. The song Tears and Cause of Laughter, you know, those were the two hits on the album, you know. So, and we've seen it again when we played those two songs in Holland, you know, for example, the people just out on that. On Become Bad, it was in Godspeed, then we had Nowhere, which became also an awesome hit, you know, for the fans. And but I'm really into the last albums very much, you know. I think that with the latest Symphorce albums, I've recorded some of the best songs I've ever recorded, you know. So yeah, sounds bizarre, but yeah, it's true.
Twice Second was my favorite. It's my favorite album, actually.
Yeah. So here we are. So we're friends now, okay?
No, you know, it's funny. You know, the bands you've been in.
People who aren't part of the entertainment industry or don't know what it's all about, it's a very hard life. It's not an easy thing to do day in and day out. It has a lot of uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And my question for you is, you've been doing this quite a long time. What has kept you going? And what has kept you saying to yourself, I'm going to keep doing this and keep going?
I think this has something to do with the time when I grew up, you know, in my hometown. Because I've been surrounded by so many awesome musicians. You know what I'm talking about? You know, they were always like, "Hey, the little Andy is coming down the street." You know, see, he knows nothing. He can do nothing. He knows doesn't know to sing. He doesn't know how to play guitar and so on. And I think I just kept it this, you know. So I just. I think, personally, I think that this is still something that dwells inside, you know, it's because I still got this anger, this hate inside, because I still got these voices in my head, I'm like, Andy, you want to sing in a band? you will see, you, nothing, you know, you will reach nothing, we'll be becoming the big stars. I'm the only one who survived, you know, there's nobody around 50 miles away, you know, there's no other musician around I knew from the time when I was a child, you know, so, and, yeah, but this is probably kind of a, yeah, they just built my engine, you know, so this is probably my engine inside, you know, that keeps me rolling always, and, still, there's so much energy inside of me, you know, and still there's so many things I think I have to say, you know, just with the music, with melody lines, with the lyrics and whatever, you know, that keeps me going, definitely. It's cool.
Awesome. You know,
and thanks to all those people in the past, you know, thanks to all them. They just made me rocking.
You know, it's kind of like being in the music business. I mean, you have to take any of the negativity and turn it into positive.
Yes, I think so. This is just, what you get is negative aggression and whatever, you know, negative vibes, you know, and you have to turn it into positive ones, you know, just, yeah, and what comes out at the end is an album like On the Spur of the Moment. Yeah, yeah. Funny as it is, you know.
Well, I mean, like some bands, they just write their best music when they're angry. I mean, look at some of the thrash metal bands that pioneered thrash metal. And even look at, I'll give you a pretty good example. You know, Megadeth is a great example. You know, their best music was written when that was going on. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Dave Mustaine knows how it works.
Andy, this has been a fun interview, in fact. I have to tell you that I think this has been some great stuff, and I had a lot of fun. It was informative, and you were a lot of fun to talk to.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, man. It's awesome, you know. Like, just those were questions I haven't heard since years ago. Some of them has nobody ever asked for, you know. So it's definitely, it was fun. It was absolutely pure damn fun, you know. So, wow.
Well, a couple things I was going to ask, if you could do a station ID for me. And
yeah, sure.
You know, and I wanted to also ask you just the one last question that I let everybody know in the bands that I interview is, you know, any last words you want to say to anybody out there in the U.S. that'll be listening to this?
Definitely. So this is my message that goes out to all your listeners out there. So thank you very much for all your patience, for all your support all over the years. So take a care of yourself and enjoy On the Spur of the Moment. This is written, recorded, just for you, and check out the tour dates, and we'll be around real soon, I hope so, in the fall, in the spring, and then also in the fall of 2012. So we'll see us out there. Thank you so much. We'll see you. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, and could you do a station ID for me?